You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. We're joined by the mayor of Fall River, Mayor Carrera. Thank you for taking a couple minutes to join us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So why don't you tell the listening audience of WCRN a little bit about yourself and your background, if you would?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jaisal Carrera, mayor of Fall River, and a lifelong resident of the city of Fall River, and probably the most glaring thing that people talk about is my age. So I'm 24 years old, youngest mayor in Fall River's history, and youngest mayor in the country, I believe, of a city of over 90,000 or close to 90,000 people. So it's exciting times here, and went to Providence College, studied business, marketing, and political science, owned my own business. It's a tech company. And decided to become a city councilor in 2013, ran for office. I actually didn't win. I came in 10th place, but through a series of events, I bumped up into 9th place, which was really exciting and a great opportunity, and really learned the city in terms of government and what the city really needed. I was pretty in tune growing up in the city of Fall River to what our needs were and where we could take the city in the future. So decided to run for mayor and won.
Well, that's actually how we knew about you. We read about you in the paper, and you being the youngest mayor in basically the United States for a city the size of Fall River. And, you know, so we're thinking, well, what would drive a 24-year-old to run for mayor of a large city? And for that matter, you know, you're at a point in your life, you graduated from college. If you haven't started a family, you probably are thinking about it sometime in the future, or getting married and then starting a family. Unfortunately, some people do it the other way around. But it's unusual for somebody your age to even consider politics at this point in their life because they're doing so many other things. And of course, a lot of people your age have exactly zero interest in politics.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I try and address on a daily basis, you know, really getting people excited about voting. We've done some great millennial talks, millennial roundtables. We brought in some of our state delegations, state senators, and state representatives to really hear from millennials on their needs. And one of the things that consistently came up was that there's really a lack of civic engagement and civic classes in our high schools, which is something that we're really looking at. We have 4 different high schools in Fall River, so that's something we're really looking to implement in the high schools. Right now, it's kind of an elective. There's a couple options, but there's really no civics class, which is unfortunate. Another problem that I consistently talk about is also I find people my age and even a little bit younger certainly really need to understand financial literacy as well. You know, the days of knowing how to balance a checkbook are really not being taught to a lot of young people today. So that's something that we're really looking to implement through our high schools and maybe even a little bit earlier. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I was at a point in my life where I really looked at the city of Fall River, a community I grew up in, I love, and I've been very fortunate to be able to travel and live and work in different places throughout the country. And when I looked back at Fall River, I said, look, Fall River can be really what all these other places that I've traveled to are. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be a leader in education, a leader in the tech sector for entrepreneurs that want to move to our city, because we have all the right assets. Our location is completely prime. We're 50 miles from Boston. We're 20 minutes from Providence, Rhode Island. We're close to Cape Cod. We're close to Newport. We have a beautiful waterfront. We have Amazon, one of the largest companies in the world, building a million-square-foot facility in our biopark. I mean, we really are a happening place on the move. But I think that, you know, the leadership style that I have, which is really hands-on, extremely involved, extremely excited, very active, was really what the city needed to get it to the next level. And I can't do that alone. That's certainly not the case. I need a great team, which we have, and I really need public behind me, but I think that's what we needed, and that's what we're doing every single day here at Government Center.
Well, being 24 years old, do a lot of people just not take you seriously? Because you sound like you're a pretty serious guy.
Since I was 13, I'll tell you, I've always been told that I'm more mature for my age, which is, you know, something that you hear growing up sometimes, and, you know, certainly worked very hard, had a great family, great parents that really strived to give me the best education I possibly could have. And the best life education, too, because education is not just what you read in books and school. also your surroundings. It's also the extracurriculars you're involved in, you know, and those are all always very important as well. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges from a personal standpoint. It's something that I deal with on a daily basis. You know, just yesterday I was talking to local reporters, and, you know, they're questioning how are we going to provide a 2017 budget that's fast approaching. You know, June 1st is when our budget is due, and we propose to cut $3.7 million from that budget to eliminate a fee that the public has deemed really a burdensome fee. And I'll tell you, you know, it's not a secret fully, but we've done that. We did that through zero-based budgeting, which had never been done in Fall River, which basically means that every department has to start at zero and justify every expense and every position. So in some departments this year, just in the first few months, we eliminated four middle management positions in just one department because there seemed to be a lot of overlap. That generated a $335,000 savings. Another department, from zero-based budgeting, we generated $192,000 savings. So, you know, those things are being implemented, and they've never been implemented, because when you talk about city government, it's not like a business. It gets tired. It gets boring. It gets monotonous, and people kind of just are in what I call slump mode instead of really looking at government as an entity that can adapt and be diverse and really look at ways to save the taxpayers' money, and that's always my goal. We want to create a vibrant community, but at the same time, we don't want to continue to go back to the taxpayer. We want them to have money in their pockets to spend at local businesses or take their family out on the weekend, and that's really a key of this administration, and that's what we talked about on the campaign trail, and we're delivering on that promise.
Can we borrow you for about 6 months for the town of Ashland, where John and I live?
I don't know. I could do it part-time, maybe on weekends.
Well, any community across all of Massachusetts, because it's so refreshing to hear that you're doing, you know, the budget process. You know, you have to justify your budget. Now, what was your reaction in, you know, City Hall when you presented that idea? I imagine there was a lot of, what? We have to do?
I mean, one of the things, you know, again, we were pretty bold. So one of the first actions I took, and it was actually eliminating our CFO position. I didn't feel that the individual that was there had the same philosophy as me. I had seen them for 2 years on the council present a lot of information in a way that I didn't think was financially feasible for the long term. It wasn't a good solution. There was a lot of short-term fixes. So we actually eliminated that position, $120,000 position, and went outside and got a financial consultant. And I really believe the reason that's been so successful is that person, if you think about it, you have an outsider, right, an outside person who is scrutinizing every single line item in every single department, who doesn't necessarily work for the city, right? They're a contract employee. So that was really a great strategy, and she's been doing an unbelievable job for us. And she doesn't have the personal relationships with people in the building that, you know, somebody that's worked here would have. So that was a really important strategy to undertake, and it's really paying dividends now while we get closer to our budget season.
Yeah, but don't you need somebody on an ongoing basis to run the financials?
Correct.
For
so
the
what
town?
We did there, very fair question. What we did, and actually DOR, you know, requires a treasurer CFO position for authorizations and signing off. So the second in command was given a stipend increase in their salary, and they're the authorized signature. But there was no need for a separate, you know, brand new CFO to bring them in at this particular point in time. Really, we had to shepherd ourselves through the budget process and justify expenses, and that's what we did.
Now, do you have a FinCom or financial committee in town of elected members, or do you not have anything like that?
All right, so we have a 9-person city council, which was what I was on before I became mayor, and that city council has a finance subcommittee, and they really review all kinds of different things. Of course, we have an independent auditor, like most communities, if not all, as well, review our books. But I'll tell you, you know, right now we're looking at something that's, you know, pretty interesting. Some of our long-term debt, I don't want to say mistakes were made, but some of our long-term debt we're really analyzing and seeing why are we just beginning to pay principal on some of our debt? Why have we gone out 15 years when, you know, a police car only lasts 3 years? So some of those questions are being asked, and we're really looking into that stuff now on trying to build a better financial state here in the city, and that's going to be very important over the next couple months.
Well, you have, did you say you have your bachelor's degree in business from Providence College?
I have my bachelor's degree in political science, but okay. I studied business and marketing as well.
All right. So you understand that basically if you borrow money, you borrow against the life of that asset. So,
of course.
Yeah,
of
you're
course.
Right.
That's one of the, that was one of the issues we discovered. So I don't know if you're familiar with what's happening here, but we made an extremely bold move by privatizing our trash collection services. It was previously a local municipal service. And we tried to negotiate some management rights and some different things that we needed to streamline service because the department went up 14% in 1 year. I mean, that's just not sustainable. We need to control our cost, and then you have a recycling market that it's a commodities market. That went up. When I joined the council, we were paying somewhere in the teens. I think it was like $18 a ton for recycling. Today, we're paying $81 a ton for recycling, more than we pay to get rid of our trash, which is just seriously not sustainable. So we had to do something in that department, and one of the costs that were uncontrollable was our collection costs. So we did accept four bids. We put out an RFP for trash collection services. We selected a company, and we're going to be privatizing that service. But in that regard, we discovered that a lot of the equipment that we had bonded for, we bonded for past the useful life. So even though that equipment may die in the next few years, we're going to still be paying that for that equipment. That makes no sense. And this is what I mean. A lot of times, cities and government are really not making business-motivated decisions. They're making politically motivated decisions. They're making decisions that make sense in that moment in time, in that fiscal year, and not looking at the long term, which has been a problem for cities all across the Commonwealth.
You're listening to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. We're joined by the mayor of Fall River. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up on some of the priorities that the mayor's working on. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830.